This was the moment when Judas now opened up his whole life to the purpose and plan, not of God, but of Satan's will. And he said, you know what? I don't want the things of God. What I want is the things of this world. And he sold his soul to the devil, as it will, for 30 pieces of silver. And now for all time, he's known as Judas the betrayer, the one who started out with a greedy heart. Who here has a nickname? Anybody have a nickname? Growing up with a nickname, maybe you had a nickname as a kid. Who here has it? Keep your hand up. If you have a nickname, you can't repeat. You don't want anybody to know that nickname. I had a lot of nicknames growing up. Some I won't tell you because they're embarrassing. But my family used to call me Z-Man when I was little and I was a teenager. Z-Man. Dun, 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 dun. And they called me Z-Man. They called me Z. When I was in youth pastor and college pastor, they called me PZ for Pastor Zach. Now at Fusion, they just say, hey, you. Who's that guy over there? Hey, you. You know, throughout life, we do have a lot of different nicknames. Some of them stick with us for a long time. Some of them are short-lived. But what if your nickname was Betrayer? What if that was how everybody knew you and that nickname never left you? You are the Betrayer. What if people, when they talked about you, said, oh, you're such a Judas. Such a Judas. Wouldn't that be brutal? Today we're in our series, Eyewitness, and we've been looking at people who were eyewitnesses to the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at the life of Judas. They were real people with real moments and real encounters with Jesus. They weren't make-believe. These aren't people we just conjured up. They actually lived and walked the planet. And today we're going to look at Judas. And Judas' name is actually synonymous with treachery. If you look up the dictionary, his name actually means betrayer. In fact, that's how it's listed in the Bible for all time. The Bible says this in Matthew 10 when it's listing out the disciples. It says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, my son's name, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Everybody say betrayed. Who betrayed him. What if that was you? I mean, what a nickname. For all time, that's how Judas is known, as the betrayer, the one of treachery, the one who sold his friendship with Jesus for money. His name doesn't leave a good taste in our mouth. In fact, the Bible says names in regards to those kind of people. It says in Proverbs, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. That doesn't sound very appeasing, does it? Doesn't sound very encouraging. We don't want our name to rot, but that's Judas's name. His name is like rotten in our culture. It's rotten in the Bible because it means betrayer. Which is crazy if you think about it, because Judas was an eyewitness. He saw everything that Jesus did. He saw all of his miracles, the blind eyes that were miraculously opened, the people who couldn't walk before, who all of a sudden had the ability to get up from their mat after decades of being handicapped and walk and dance and jump about. He saw people raised from the dead. He saw the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. He saw Jesus walk on the water. He heard all the amazing teachings that Jesus gave. It was like Judas was in church every single day, seeing the awesome power of God through Jesus Christ. But he became the betrayer. He became the one who actually sold Jesus out. But he didn't actually start out that way. He wasn't always the betrayer. The truth is, Judas had a major problem, and it wasn't just betrayal. It was greed. Everyone say greed. It was greed. Greed was ultimately Judas's problem. Oftentimes, when we think of greed, we think of someone else. They're so greedy. We don't ever say that about ourselves, unless you are the person that takes the last brownie or the last piece of cake. Everybody in the family knows you're the greedy one. But Judas didn't start out that way. He didn't start out as the betrayer. He started as a greedy person. And we think of oftentimes other people, we think of it also in context of rich people. Oh, those millionaires, you know, they're so greedy. They have all this money. They could do so much good with it. And we think about them being greedy. But the truth is, we have a lot in common with Judas. In fact, there's a lot about his life that I think we can relate to. We struggle with some of those same things. And we're going to learn about it today, and we're going to answer this question, how do we move from greediness to godliness? Because that's where God wants us to move from. You see, Judas moved from greediness to godlessness, and we're going to move from greediness to godliness. How many want that? I would rather move to godliness than godlessness. And that's what God wants to teach us today, because the question is, are you greedy or are you godly? Because you can't be both. You can't be both. We can't say, well, I'm greedy and godly at the same time. That's not how it works. That's not what God wants to teach us. That's not what God wants to teach us through his word today. So as we look at the life of Judas, let's just paint a picture here, because Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He already knows his time has come. It's time for him to lay his life down for the sins of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Amen. Holy cow. We should be amen and amen that all up and down every day. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins, because otherwise we would be hopeless. Let me try that again. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. Amen. Now we got a church. What a church, not a morgue, a church. Jesus knew his time had come, and he was ready for it. And so a lot's happening pre-crucifixion. He's meeting with people, and he's having the Last Supper, and he's making some final teachings. And this is what happened in John chapter 12. The Bible says 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. He's just like, I just got raised from the dead. I just need to chill for a little bit. I just need to relax. You guys, get stuff ready. I need a break. So then Mary took about a pint of pure nard. It's a perfume, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It was filled with the scent. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, see that name? It's always going to be known. Judas, who is later going to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. He did not say this. Now, let me just stop right here for a second. None of the disciples knew that Jesus was going to be the betrayer. They didn't know this till after the fact. They thought Judas was in. He was part of the club. He was part of the team. He was part of the brotherhood. He was part of the church. They were all that same church together. They didn't know until later that Judas was going to betray them. So they said, he didn't know this because he cared. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Now, why Jesus allowed Judas to be keeper of the finances, I will never know this side of eternity. I don't know. But Judas definitely needed financial peace from Dave Ramsey, because he was helping himself to the money bag. And he was just dipping his hand in the pocket to help what was supposed to supply Jesus and the disciples with the money for their ministry. They were supported by people. People gave, and the Bible even says this, there's a bunch of women, it specifically says in one point, that gave financially to the support of Jesus and the disciples and their ministry, because they were full-time ministers of the gospel. And Judas has taken money out of the money bag that was supposed to go to the ministry and spending it on himself. And no one knew this was really happening, but he was a thief. And he was full of greed. And we see here a contrast between Mary and Judas. A massive, a worlds apart contrast between these two people. And we learn a valuable point of how God wants us to move from greediness to godliness. And we do that by choosing worship over wealth. Worship over wealth. Judas chose wealth over worship. Mary chose worship over wealth. You see, the problem is greed didn't just influence Judas, it owned him. Are you greedy or are you godly? You cannot be both. The Bible tells us many things about the lives of the people. One thing you might not know is that for Jewish women, to let down their hair in public was a sign of deep humility and or shame. And so for her to take this perfume and pour it on Jesus' feet, and another passage says that she also poured it on his head and anointed him for burial and wiped his feet with her hair. She knew that Jesus was going to die because Jesus had blatantly told them. The disciples hadn't kind of gotten it yet. They hadn't picked up what Jesus was putting down. They hadn't gotten the memo, but Mary knew, and the Bible tells us that she was preparing Jesus for his burial. And so she humbles herself before Jesus, and she pours out an offering of worship before the Lord. And watch this. The house was filled with the fragrance of her generosity. The house was filled with the fragrance of her worship. And the world was filled with the fragrance of her sacrifice, because we're taught about it in the scriptures where Judas said, how come we don't have this money for our ministry? He wanted more in his pocket. Mary pours out a year's wages at the feet of Jesus in an act of worship before the Lord. Why? Because she was godly and not greedy. Judas was greedy and not godly. We have to choose worship over wealth. And Mary pours it out to Jesus on his feet, and she humbles herself before him, and she lets down her hair, and she wipes his feet with her hair and the perfume, and it filled the house with her worship. Is your house filled with the worship of your sacrifice of generosity? Does that fragrance of worship fill your house? Does it fill this church? Does it fill the ministry that God has for you? Are you humbling yourself? Say, God, like Mary, I pour out everything before the feet of Jesus. Why? Because it all belongs to him anyway. Doesn't the Bible also say that when we see him on that day, we will lay our crowns at his feet? Because we'll say, I'm not even worthy to wear this crown, because there's only one king, and that's you, Jesus. And everything I thought was an accolade to my life, everything I thought that was a punch to my arm, was a shot in the arm to me, was something that I said, hey, look what I did. I lay it down at your feet, God, because I am unworthy when I come to you, Lord. And I'm going to choose worship over wealth. Judas's problem was greed. And he loved money. He loved what he could bring him and the satisfaction he thought it would give him in his life. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money. See how clear the Bible is to us? See how God just spells it out for us so that we might know? Keep yourselves free from the love of money. He says, and be content with what you have, because God has said what? Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. What does that mean? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need, the Bible says. I have all that I want. God, as long as you're with me, as long as you never forsake me, as long as you're on my side and I'm humbling myself at your feet, I have all that I need. Even if nothing else in the world comes my way, God, you are what I need. And I worship you. Worship at your feet, because I'm choosing worship over wealth. There's nothing wrong with having wealth if you have it in a heart of worship and a heart of generosity. Because the Bible tells us, when we think about wealth in our life, Judas had a heart issue, and greed becomes a heart issue in our life. The Bible says this in Colossians. It says, so put to death. See how God just is so brutal with us? He's so upfront with us. He says, listen, I'm going to put you this in Zachary language, okay? So you know exactly what I'm talking about, all right? So put to death. Stab it in the heart. Put to death. Stab it in the heart. The sinful earthly things lurking within you. It's lurking. It's waiting to take over. Like Judas, it was lurking in his heart. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality or impurity, lust, and evil desires. And it doesn't stop there, because it says, don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. It's a person who said, I want more stuff for me more than I want Jesus. It's setting up another thing as God instead of Jesus. Mary set up Jesus as her God. Judas set up money as his God. And that greed became a problem in his life, where Mary humbled herself, and we see the testimony of her life in the scriptures. Because the truth is, godliness isn't greedy, it's generous. It costs us at a year's wages. Do you know why she poured out such an expensive gift before the feet of Jesus? Do you know why? Because Mary, like the scriptures teach us, she would not give to Jesus that which cost her nothing. Oftentimes, we only want to give Jesus that which costs us nothing. If it doesn't cost me anything, if it's no sacrifice on my part, if it doesn't hurt a little bit, listen, if it doesn't sting a little bit, if it doesn't cost you to sacrifice, then it's not generous. It's your leftovers. It's your leftovers. But Mary pours out. Mary pours out to Jesus a generous act of worship because she chose worship over wealth. Judas chose wealth over worship. Don't be greedy for a greedy person as an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. This point actually was a big shift for Judas when he sees this happen, because the Bible teaches us that right after this, he decides, okay, I'm done with Jesus and I'm done with his style of ministry, because I want to be successful. I want to have money. I want to have all these things, but without Jesus. You can have money and success and still have Jesus. The Bible's full of those kind of people who had money and success but were godly and generous. There's the catch. But watch what happened next in the life of Judas, Matthew 26. It says, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him, Jesus, over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. You know what that means? I'm going to spell it out for you. So they gave him money. Everybody say money. They gave him money. They were making it rain on the life of Judas right here. 30 pieces of silver, maybe more money than he'd ever seen in his whole life. And said, so from then on, Judas is like, I'm in. And he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. I want that money. This is what's coming to me, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to earn it because I'm going to betray Jesus. And it goes on to say, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Now, this point, all the disciples are looking at each other, because remember, none of the other disciples knew Judas was a betrayer until after the fact. They thought Judas was part of this. We're part of the same church, brother. We go to the same church every single day. They thought he was in. He said, Jesus, one of you is going to betray me. And they were very sad. And they began to say one to another, surely you don't mean me, Lord. Everyone say, Lord. Lord. Pay attention to the scriptures. Surely you don't mean me, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. The one who is acting like my friend, the one who's acting like he loves me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. Everyone say, Rabbi. Rabbi. Jesus answered, you've said so. You've confessed it. You just owned up to it. Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. And here we learn a powerful lesson about how we move from greediness to godliness in the life of Judas. And we have to surrender to Jesus as Lord. We surrender to Jesus as Lord. Notice how all of the other 11 disciples called him Lord. Judas called him Rabbi. They called him Lord, and Judas called him teacher. He did not recognize Jesus as Lord. There is no account in all of Scripture that where Judas ever recognized Jesus Christ as Lord. Think about it this way. Let's say you have a really good friend who's a heart surgeon. And that friend has told you all about heart surgery and even sometimes has let you into the operating room to watch heart surgery happen. And there's this one procedure that my wife's uncle had done where they take out your heart and they put it on the kitchen counter while you're still alive. And they do this procedure on your arteries, and then they put your heart back in. You got to see all that and the life-saving actions of a heart surgeon. And you know, this is my buddy, he's a heart surgeon. And then one day you're with some friends and you say, hey, this is my friend, the pharmacist. A pharmacist, although we love pharmacists, don't we? Is not even on the same playing field of what a heart surgeon does. That's like what Judas is doing right now, where the rest of them are calling him Lord, Jesus, who does the ultimate operation on our heart. He says, oh, this is just the teacher. And there was no recognition in Judas's life about Jesus being Lord. Because here's the truth. You can know about Jesus without knowing Jesus. Judas knew about Jesus, but didn't know Jesus. He was not his Lord. And he didn't worship Jesus, he worshiped greed. That's why he cared about what Mary was doing only for the money. That's why he only called him Rabbi instead of Lord. Because you can know about him without knowing him. 30 pieces of silver was Judas's God. That was his idolatry. That was what he actually worshiped. The story goes on, and it tells us in John 13, it says, then dipping the piece of bread. Now, I'm acting like Jesus' buddy and friend. We're like in this together, but he's lying. He's pretending. He's only, you know, scheming in the back of his mind how he's going to take this money and do what he said he was going to do. And he gave it to Judas, right? And the son of Simon Iscariot, as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. Full stop. That's a little scary right there. That's like, what? Now, just a couple things real quick about Satan. Satan is not omniscient. It means he's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. It means he's not everywhere all the time. He's not God. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He's not those things. He's finite in his singular person. Although powerful and although deceptive, he is a singular person. And so we recognize this. So this is a very serious moment in Judas's life. It goes on and says, so Jesus told him, what you're about to do, do quickly. Now Jesus is looking right at Judas. What you're about to do, do quickly. In other words, the gig is up, Judas. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him, because they didn't know. Only Jesus knew. Since Judas had been in charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Oh, the things we do in the darkness. Oh, the things we do when we think no one is seeing, when we think no one will know, when we think we're doing it in secret, but Jesus knows. No one else knew, but Jesus knew. What you are about to do, do quickly. And it was night. This was the moment when Judas now opened up his whole life to the purpose and plan, not of God, but of Satan's will. And he said, you know what? I don't want the things of God. What I want is the things of this world. And he sold his soul to the devil, as it will, for 30 pieces of silver. And now for all time, he's known as Judas the betrayer, the one who started out with a greedy heart. We don't want to be that person. You see, Judas gave himself over to the darkness, and greed was the door that Satan walked through. That was the hook that Satan had in his life. That was the moment that Satan kind of took over his life, and it was night. You see, God calls us. It says the Bible tells us that Jesus came to call us, watch, out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I would rather surrender, are you with me? I would rather surrender my darkness to Jesus now than have it exposed in the light of all eternity to my eternal shame. Because if I give it to Jesus now, the darkness of my life now, the sin of my life now, the Bible says I am washed and made clean. I am freed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not living under shame anymore, but I'm living under forgiveness because of my repentance and my turning away from that life and turning towards Jesus Christ because of the blood of Jesus. Because he makes me right in his sight because of his work on the cross, not because of my work. Judas couldn't figure out who he was serving. So he decided, this is the moment he decided, I'm going to serve greed. And Satan entered him and he betrayed his Savior. He betrayed his friend. The Bible tells us clearly in Matthew chapter 6, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. Now, just in case we don't know what Jesus is talking about, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. You see how clear that is? That should get a whole lot of amens. But in America, we're like, what? But I want both. I want God and money. God says, no, listen, you can't, you gotta pick which one. Are we gonna serve God or are we gonna serve money? And so we have to say, okay, God, I want to surrender my life to godliness. Now, if you're surrendering your life to godliness instead of greed, and God brings you financial blessing, and God brings you prosperity, amen and amen. Because we need people like that in the kingdom of God who say, you know what, God has blessed me, and I'm going to be a blessing to the kingdom, not just to myself. That's a whole different way to live. Is so we say, okay, God, God's blessed me to be a blessing to the kingdom. The problem is, Judas knew about Jesus without knowing him. You see, Jesus isn't just someone to study, he's someone to surrender to. He needs to be the Lord of your life, not just a guy you know. The Lord of our life, the light of our salvation, and we surrender him to him. And that means that you and I need to guard our hearts from small compromises, from small compromises. You see, a lot of times we think through our life, if I could just get a little bit more, then I'll be happy. If I just made a little bit more, if I just put a little bit more in my emergency fund, if I just put a little bit more in my retirement account, if I just had a little bit more, then I would be happy. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. There's nothing wrong with being prudent and a good steward with the resources God has given you. You should be, because that's an act of righteousness. I'm doing this before the Lord. This is what God's blessed me with, and so I'm going to be a good steward of this, and I'm gonna fund the things God wants me to fund and do the things God wants me to do with it. And it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about the kingdom of God. But we have to get to a point where right now, right at this moment, we have within our life contentment. And the problem with Judas is he started off with small compromises. I'm just going to take a little bit out of the money bag. I'm going to take a little bit for me. No one is supposed to support the ministry, but it's a little bit for me, and a little bit, that's going to be mine, and that's okay. And then you start a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, became more and more greedy, more and more greedy, sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Satan entered him, and he started working for the kingdom of darkness instead of the kingdom of light. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy about our lives, it says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Hear that verse. Because we've got it upside down in America. We think great wealth will give us contentment. But the Bible says great godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. Judas couldn't take the 30 pieces of silver with him when he hanged himself, because he killed himself out of regret. Regret is not the same as repentance. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. This verse gets misquoted a lot, and a lot of people say it's the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. It's the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Greed pierces us with many sorrows because we feel like we never have enough. And it doesn't matter what financial level you are at, because here's what happens. The poor person says, that's too much to give. And the rich person says, I would never give that much. That's too much for me to give. No matter what level of life we're at, greed can become a problem. And we need to move in our life and say, okay, God, I want to be godly instead of greedy. I don't want to be a Judas. I'd rather be a Mary. I'd rather pour out my life at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, okay, God, I want to actually surrender everything I have to you in my life. I want to live a godly life. I want to make you Lord of my life, not just the financial things and the things that I have and the stuff that I have. Judas was an eyewitness and he still didn't get it. He still didn't get it. He missed the whole thing. He wasn't Lord. He didn't make Jesus Lord of his life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, it says, so let everyone in Israel now know for certain that God has made this Jesus, let the whole church know that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both who? Lord and Messiah. Not just teacher, not just rabbi, but Lord and Messiah. Mary got that. She recognized him as Lord. That's why she worshiped him with such an extravagant gift. Judas missed the boat completely and forever will be known as the betrayer. Woe to him, for it would have been better if he was never even born. Are you godly or are you greedy? I implore you today to choose godliness, because godliness isn't greedy, it's generous.